him to come, because I'll give him the lectern. Yeah, I'll turn the light on.
Praise the Lord. Reminder that verse that says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Difficult in the King James Version to relate to that. If you look at it in some other versions, you'll get the sense of what he was talking about there, and that's something that actually stands in many ways in contrast to our perception of what we think the world's attitude toward us is. We think that the world's attitude is at best not interested in us, and at worst outright antagonistic. But Scripture says that they're just waiting for the revelation of the true sons of God. They don't know that that's what they're waiting for, but that is what they are waiting for. And I am struck by the responsibility that I have in meeting their need to see the sons and daughters of God revealed. That is a responsibility that I have. I have an involvement. I have an obligation. I have some things that I need to be doing. I have some choices that I need to be making on almost every hour of virtually every day. I have been so grateful for the past several weeks specifically, the ministry that we have received here. There is something being poured into my spirit. There is something being poured into all of our spirits. There is a different season now that we're entering into. There is a specific outpouring of God. He is pouring that into us, preparing us for what's to come. And I'm so excited, and it feels so good to receive that. But I'm also, again, struck with the responsibility that comes with that. And the Lord has been kind of prodding me around the edges a little bit and then really starting to drive this home. I want to encourage you, maybe after tonight, to read the whole book of Colossians. It's not epic. It's just a few chapters. I've read through it once, read through it again. It's one of those books where you kind of come crashing headlong into verses you've always quoted before, but had no idea of the context. It's like, whoa, what is that doing there? How'd that get there? Some real powerful, powerful things about the Godhead. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, right? Very powerful. And I don't want to take away from that at all. But the setting, kind of peculiar. The setting is something that I believe provides strong and direct instruction for where we're at right now as we begin to receive what the Lord is trying to pour into us. I'm going to do my best not to read the entire book tonight. I'm just going to pick some verses in here. But again, I encourage you to go back and take a look. I am going to be reading it in Amplified. This really did kind of help me understand a little bit more what Paul was speaking in here. I'm just going to skip around a little bit, Brother Tolbert, so if you can kind of try to follow me, that would be great. I'm going to start in the beginning, and as I do, I want you to try to look at Paul's perspective, at his attitude towards this church. Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints, the consecrated people of God, and believing and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace, spiritual favor and blessing to you, and heart peace from God our Father. We continually give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as we are praying for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and of the love which you have and show for all the saints, God's consecrated ones, because of the hope of experiencing what is laid up, reserved, and waiting for you in heaven. Of this hope you heard in the past in the message of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. Indeed, in the whole world, that gospel is bearing fruit and still is growing by its own inherent power, even as it has done among yourselves ever since the day you first heard and came to know and understand the grace of God in truth. You came to know the grace or undeserved favor of God in reality, deeply and clearly and thoroughly, becoming accurately and intimately acquainted with it. You so learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ in our stead as your representative and yours. I'm going to pause there for a moment. Do you see Paul's attitude here? It is the same as what he kind of had in some of the other churches, but here there's something even more specific because he seems to recognize a level of spiritual maturity and growth that this church has somehow managed to connect at such a level that they're, you know, he's not kind of having to go through a long discussion like he has in dealing with some very specific and weighty issues that he did in some of the other letters. He's not having to kind of go through and solve some of the debates about the Jewish traditions that are in there. There's a little bit of that that comes into the latter part of Colossians, and he's admonishing them to kind of stay on course. But somehow something's different here about this group. That whole definition in verse 4, heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and then what Amplified helps us understand about that word faith, the leaning of your entire human personality on him. I've always thought of faith as just synonymous with belief, right? To say, you know, do you have faith in God? Well, yes, because I believe in God. Okay, good starting point. Not the full definition of what that word, as we have it translated, really fully means. There is, I guess if you wanted one English word to try and make sense of that, you might use the term dependence. To choose to be dependent on God. Because that's also the other interesting thing, is that faith is as much about a choice as anything else. Faith is about making a choice to decide where you are going to place your reliance. And the interesting thing about this, as we continue forward in here, we'll see that there was an expectation that that choice was one they were always having to renew. It was a commitment they were always having to reestablish. If you ever get the feeling that the deeper you go in this, the more you feel like you are swimming upstream, I'm sorry, but you are. There is always an effort to try and get us out of the flow, whether it's our flesh pulling us out or the enemy trying to pull us off course. Oftentimes, it's usually our flesh. That's usually the biggest problem. But yes, there's always going to be this thing that's pulling us away. And if you're overwhelmed, as I sometimes am, by the enormity of the task of trying to keep myself on course, of trying to keep myself in that flow that God wants me to be in, trying to keep in that place where I really can have my entire faith, my entire dependence relied on him. If you're overwhelmed by that, again, as I myself am, then there's a need for a greater understanding of grace. Because it's through the grace of God that he gives us the ability to do that. That was the whole point of him giving us the Holy Ghost, was to give us the strength that we needed to stay on course. The interesting thing is that all we really need to do is make a decision. That's really what we need to do. We need to decide. But this is a decision which has to be renewed over and over and over again. Renewed every morning in prayer. Renewed throughout the day in prayer. Renewed every moment I encounter a situation where my flesh would prefer to handle it its way rather than the way that God would prefer to have me handle it. That's the choice that's before us, to make that decision to trust him. And the stronger we make that decision, the easier we find it becomes, because it activates grace and it gives us access to so much. As we see that this church, to a great extent, had access to a lot of things, and it gave them the ability to act very effectively in the kingdom in response to the ministry that was given to them. And I believe that's why the Lord really wants us to see this tonight. Because, as I said, there's some very specific and powerful ministry that is going into us, equipping us and preparing us for what he is about to do. And he wants to encourage us to respond to that using the example very much that we have here in Colossians. I'm going to continue on through here. And I am skipping ahead a little bit. I want to pick out some of the most, some of the key verses in here. Let's go down to verse 10, still in chapter 1. That you may walk, live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. Wow. If you wanted like a to-do list of things to focus on, it's pretty much all just right there. You just look at that verse, that you may walk. You know, it's not a matter of standing in one place. It's not like it's okay, I got my territory here. I've got my godly place. Everything's going to be fine. No, there's movement, there's action, there's living, there's an ongoing thing. It's not like I get to just go and cloister myself up somewhere and isolate myself. No, there is a walk that continues. And as we read both through this and other chapters, we understand that walk can refer not only to an ongoing spiritual thing, but also just our physical living, how we interact with the world around us. You may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now that's another interesting one. Worthy? Really? Yes, worthy of him. It's not just a matter of, you know, trying to stay on God's good side. That's totally the wrong perspective here. We're walking in a way that we want to be pleasing to him. We're walking in a way that we want to activate the relationship with him. We want to be worthy of that calling that he has placed on us. We want to show ourselves worthy in that. Fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him. There's that choice again. I know it says desire, but that's choice, right? It's coming and saying, you know, I choose this day to pursue him. I choose this minute to decide in a way that is as he would have me decide. I choose to respond to this situation in the way that he would have me respond, because I'm desiring to please him. And that desire is not an intellectual thing. It's this passionate thing. It's something that I am pursuing on a daily basis. Desiring to please him in all things, and bearing fruit in every good work. We can go and we can talk about all kinds of Bible and scripture about bearing fruit. But look at the context here that he's talking. He's encouraging them to stay on the path that they're on, that they continue to bear fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing. And this is where I really, we've experienced a lot of growth here. We really have. I have, at least. Tremendous amount of growth under the ministry that the Lord has been so gracious as to involve us in and give us an opportunity to receive from. But this notion of continually increasing, continually growing, now that's something really special. And there are times, I think, when that rate of growth changes. And I firmly believe that what he is pouring into us now will activate a season of accelerated growth. Things are going to get much more quickly. Things are going to go much faster. And so there's going to be an opportunity there. If I start making this decision daily to decide, then I'll begin to see that fruit very quickly. And in my personal experience, what I've found is that it's so much easier to continue pursuing him when I see the results of that. And the results, I mean, are not just not just for me, but I mean like the involvement that I begin to see myself in the kingdom, even if it's just in prayer, even if it's just realizing I am deeper in prayer today than I was yesterday. This is awesome. I can see that coming. That's great. I love to feel that. That's what he has for us. Steadily growing and increasing and by the knowledge of God. And again, there's that fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, recognition. These are things that are building on themselves. They are strengthening, they're reinforcing themselves over time. It continues on in this chapter. And again, I encourage you to look at some of the context for that. Let's go to in chapter 2, just a few things in here. Continuing on. Let's just start at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. For my concern is that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged as they are knit together in love, that they may come to have all the abounding wealth, and blessings of assured conviction of understanding, and that they may become progressively more intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly that mystic secret of God, which is Christ, the Anointed One. Again, you see what that is? Progressively more intimately acquainted with him. That means every day knowing him a little bit more. Every day him revealing more to me. Every day going deeper in prayer. How does that come about? By continuing this pattern of making that choice every day and of deciding to allow that seed that is being planted in me to have the exact kind of ground it needs to grow fruitfully, to grow prosperously, and in a manner of his choosing. He goes on throughout this chapter to talk about addressing some little specific issues about vain philosophies and deceits. There was this problems coming in that were beginning to distract the church, and he felt it necessary, again in this context, to address that, to say, you know what, don't let them pull you off course. Where you're at right now is good. Just keep going in this direction, but go deeper. Continue to make that decision. And again, there's that powerful verse on the Godhead in that context in there. Skipping forward to Colossians 3, just a few verses I want to share with you here. 3:1, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. That verse, though difficult to stay focused on 100% of the time, if you're looking for something nice and small as like a near-term thing that you can just begin on a daily basis trying to make some changes, that verse right there is a great compact little guidepost. Set your minds and keep them set on what is above. We have a lot of control over what we think on. We have a lot of control over what we allow our minds to be occupied with. We have a lot of decisions that we can make every day as to how. What I have found is yes, I have to think about the job that I have, right? If somebody gives me a task to do at work, I have to think about it and try to, you know, figure it out. But how deeply do I want to get wrapped up in that? How much of my mind gets dedicated to that? Do I find that as my mind gets drawn into that I start thinking about it more and that I start having this some sort of a response that pulls me away from the things of the kingdom? It's not necessarily negative. It could just be that, wow, this is a great career opportunity for me. Wow, if I nail this, man, it's going to be great. Oh, this is going to be awesome. Okay, I really got to focus on this. Really? Who's my source? Right? Or, oh my goodness, what if I mess this up? Oh no, how does this work out? Oh my goodness. I remember one time I was walking to work, and I was praying as I was walking, as I often do, because I figure there's enough people in downtown Seattle at 7 o'clock in the morning kind of mumbling confused things to themselves, so I'm just now one of them. So I'm on my way to work, and I had an opportunity to minister maybe that weekend, and I was then transitioning into a point where I had to give a presentation at work. And, you know, I kind of go a little overboard in preparing for those sort of things. I just really want to get it right. And so I was really thinking about it. It was just all I could think about. I got up in the morning, couldn't really even pray. I was just thinking about this, man. I got to get this right. I got to get this right. And I remember kind of commenting a little bit to the Lord that, wow, this is really hard, Lord. I'm transitioning from a point where I was totally relying on you to a point now where I've got to do this myself. And I heard what I was saying in there. And the Lord, in response to me, very clearly said, am I not capable of handling even that? And it was one of those situations where I had given my mind over to way too much thought on that. And I had to make some adjustments. And I have since struggled to do that to some extent or another. And again, it's about the choices that we make. We have a lot more control, a lot more say, a lot more options, perhaps, in this walk, a lot more definite tasks than what we really maybe initially think. We continue on in here, just a few more verses. Verse 3, for as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. In verse 5, so kill, deaden, or deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry, the deifying of self or other created things instead of God. The perspective here is that they seem to have the ability to do all this. He's asking them, hey, you need to be doing this. So he must have expected that they had some ability to do that. And really, again, in concert with the verses we've read before and the decisions that are before us, we actually do have a lot of control over what we think about and how deeply we concern ourselves with some things of the world and the things in that list. The challenge for us, of course, is that to get ourselves comfortable, as he said in verse 3, that we have died. He's calling us to a place of commitment to the kingdom that is going to be incompatible with our own agendas, with our own life plans, with our own agendas, our desires, our career goals. They're going to be incompatible. And we're going to be faced, see, for a while this was okay, because either he wasn't calling us to as deep of a spot, I don't think that's quite it. I think what's more likely is we just weren't quite ready to go there. But now as we begin, as the need grows, as the urgency really becomes tangible, And the need for his, as I mentioned before, for the manifestation of the sons of God, as that urgency grows, then his needs and his demands of his church collectively and us individually as part of the church are going to grow. And in order for us to really meet that, it's going to require us to be in a place where we're ready to make not just like a daily balancing act, but actually some real decisions to say, yeah, that matters more to me than all the rest of this. And if it's a little overwhelming to figure out how you get there from here, again, these verses provide that for us. It starts with the small decisions. It starts with that daily commitment. It starts with that that resolution within us that the things of God matter more to me than anything else. And I want to begin to become as concerned with the kingdom as he is. And when I do, that's going to help draw me to that deeper place that I need to go. If you continue on through here, you'll see him talking about really making a transition from that old self that you really need to no longer have anything to do with and transition off into that new thing that he has for us. Final couple chapter verses here. In Colossians 3 again, let's do verse 12. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Again, do you see the decision in there? Clothe yourselves, therefore, and then moving on in there, putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy. I can see in my daily walk where I have these options. I can see in my daily walk when I can choose which coat I'm going to wear, when I have a choice in the way I respond to a situation. I can see that, and that helps me relate to this and understand. Those are the places in my life where I get to make these adjustments. Because as I do, it will, as it did, I believe, for this church that he was speaking to here, really prepare them for an active involvement at the forefront of ministry, to prepare them to be involved and effective in the kingdom, to respond to what God was calling them to, and to create within them the kind of environment needed so that that seed, when it went forth from the ministry that was sent to them, that that seed was able to grow. It was a constant tilling, it was a watering, a preparing, and the result was it provided a fertile ground. And that spilled over into the effect that they were able to deliver. I'm really excited about what the Lord is doing. I'm grateful for the instruction that he's given me, and I'm grateful for his very timely guidance on what I need to do to get there and to be as involved as I can in the work that he has. And I hope that can be the same for you as well. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Kendrick. I'm reminded tonight of how quickly we can slide back from a spiritual sense of trusting in God and knowing that he is the one who either, the scripture says it this way, he sets one up and another down. He gives success or not success. I don't really control any of that. It's his grace. And I find myself at times so easily sliding back into the mentality that it's as though what I'm successful in is because of me. And thus when I'm faced or presented with another opportunity, I become afraid, as though I'm the one that's going to fail. When I wouldn't have been presented with the opportunity had he not blessed me and given me the grace to be where I'm at. I must frustrate him. I must frustrate the grace of God a lot. He must step back and smile and shake his head at me and say, Nick, how quickly you forgot who brought you to this place. You know, I've been reading, if you're doing the Bible in a year thing, you've been reading through, you know, all these first few months, all these Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And I think I identify with what they were going through, because they went through these victories, and then they'd go through a victory, and then I don't know, was it weeks, months, days later, they're facing another battle, and they're like, "You brought us here to die." God's going, "I'd have killed you last week." If this was about me not having the ability to do it, I could have done that. I could have put that back on you. All those plagues, they could have destroyed you, but I've brought you this far, so why would I just drop you off? What was the song when I was a kid? He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. His intention wasn't to bring you out here in the middle of somewhere and see ya, you're on your own. Man, how quickly I forget that. Thank you, Brother Kendrick, for sharing those words with me tonight. I'm encouraged tonight. Amen. Let's stand together. Jesus, I thank you for your word that by its speaking.